Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk About It. This is your voice for wellness in the Imperial Valley, so if you want to pick up the phone and give us a call, the number is 337-8874. And if you wanted to sit there and listen, that's fine, too. If you're new to the show, you just heard about us on KXL Radio or something, you're just tuning in for the first time, enjoy yourselves and call in, be a part of the show, or just hang out and learn about what we're talking about today. So, today we have a guest, and indeed her name is Yolanda Bernal, and she works for the Public Health Department, and she's titleless. I can't say her title. No, she's a supervisor. That's an important job, and it should be highlighted. So, she's a supervisor for the Public Health Department, and she works with a fascinating program that we're going to talk about for the whole hour today. But what's the name of this program, Yolanda, and what does it do?
Okay, let's see. Good morning. The name of the program is the Adolescent Family Life Program. We call it AFLP. And basically what the program does, we offer case management services to pregnant or parenting teens so they can live healthy, productive lives.
When did this program start?
Oh, it started way before my time. I don't even know exactly when. I've been with public health for 8 years, and it's before my time. I've barely been with the program 3. So it's been there a while, but hasn't been promoted as much as it has been now.
So we're going out and we're hitting the streets and we're hitting the airwaves.
Exactly.
and we're trying to get this everyone who could take advantage of this to take advantage of it.
Exactly.
What was your coolest success story? What was the thing, for you in these 3 years you've worked with the program? What's the coolest thing you've seen?
When we first started, the program was really, we didn't hardly have caseloads, and because we weren't fully staffed. Eventually that changed to being fully staffed, have full caseloads, and the accomplishment is graduation. We had pregnant or parenting teens graduating. This is our second year that we've done a teen graduation, and we've had about 50 each year. So for us, that is an accomplishment because sometimes there's a lot of barriers for these children to graduate because they have already children or they're pregnant and they miss a lot of school. So for us, that's a great accomplishment.
So one of the most common setbacks for a teen, if she becomes pregnant, because this would be women, young women, albeit women, is graduating from high school. And if they don't graduate from high school, I guess that really would set them back as, trying to economically provide for their family.
Exactly.
In the first part. And so your goal is to get these people out. You graduated 50?
Yes.
Out of home.
Actually 48, but...
Yeah, that's 50. We round off. Out of how many?
Well, my caseload, I get the younger girls, so I didn't have any graduates, but my staff, they each have 50 students, and probably each one had 25.
So this is high school seniors?
Not necessarily. Well, some of them, yes, but we also have, we start at age, currently we have cases of 14 to 19.
Right.
But we also serve males as well.
Fathers?
Yes, fathers.
And provide with them with supportive services, too.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So what we're here today, then, is to get the word out and make sure that we get everybody who could be eligible for this program.
Exactly.
Into the program and working and doing good stuff. What kind of support do you guys provide?
We provide, like I mentioned, continuous case management for teens who need the service. We also make sure that when the young ladies are pregnant, that they have a healthy pregnancy, so the pregnancy can be a positive one. We also make sure that they continue their education, that they graduate. And if they're already parenting, we make sure that they have all the resources, like for the children, like make sure that the children are up to date with their immunizations, that they have a medical provider. And also if they need assistance, financial assistance, we know where to guide them.
Nice. So all of the kind of trappings and settings that we as adults when we're older and we're setting up our families, you try and provide these same kind of services for teens.
Yes.
So that they have the same kind of advantages that a family who is starting a little bit later would have.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Perfect. And okay, so who can people call if they're interested in getting this?
They can call our office, and the main number for the secretary that's up front is her name is also Yolanda.
Makes it easy.
Yeah, I'm Yolanda. She's Yolanda. The number is 335-3454. And then we're also located at Social Services Area at 2995 South 4th Street, Suite 102.
Great.
Here in El Centro.
Great. I was a little bit slow picking up my pencil. What's that number one more time?
335-3454. Okay. And the address is 2995 South 4th Street here in El Centro, Suite 102.
Great. So let's dive into this. This is Yolanda Bernal. She is a program supervisor for Public Health Department, and the program's name is the Adolescent Family Life Program.
Correct.
Now, I guess you don't start by encouraging teens to become pregnant. Is family planning part of your gig or no?
Yes. Yes. We make sure. We also try to avoid repeat pregnancies. We try to let the ladies know that even though they've had sex before, that if they already have a child, they can abstain from having further sex and take care of themselves to have children at a later time.
It's like you don't want people in your program. Ultimately, ideally, people are starting families, women are becoming pregnant when they're quote-unquote kind of ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in our society, we kind of don't see people in high school as being good parent material. Is that a fair start?
Well, I think it's as, like I'm...
It's certainly tough on the kids, if nothing else.
It is, however, they've made that choice, and they're already there. And what our program does is help give them the tools to be a better parent. We refer them to parenting classes. We make sure we talk to parents of the teens to help them, to give them the support, because they need it. Even if we're adults and we, as a female adult... we weren't taught to be a parent as well. So we all start, as a female, we all start at the same, even, doesn't matter the age, we always start not knowing what to do with a baby, with a newborn.
They don't come with instruction manuals.
Exactly. So we also have group, when we talk to a teen, we make sure a parent is there, a guardian. If the father of the baby is involved, we try to have them all together so we can do it like a team approach.
And so part of it is hooking them back up to their existing supports.
Exactly.
Is it hard sometimes? I mean, I know culturally the reactions to young women who become pregnant unexpectedly can be pretty severe.
Yes, it can be. And some parents, they all react very different. Some parents want nothing to do with their children.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them, like,
you disrespected the house.
Exactly. Even though they were teen parents themselves, but the kid never knew, you know, things like that. So sometimes, you know, so that's when the schools play a big role in our program, because we get referrals from schools, also from hospitals, and they usually do the initial part of the case management, because they're the ones that get, sometimes they're the ones letting parents know of what's going on. So we just get the better part of the stick, you know, we kind of do the follow up,
right,
and continue with, right, the case management.
Right. So the initial kind of shock is worn off. Now, in this community, are teen pregnancy rates higher or lower, or how what's the scope of the problem here?
Actually, we have one of the highest teen pregnancy rates compared with California.
Why?
You know, I don't know. I can't pinpoint, but I know that they always recommend, I think, parents, you
the
know.
The fertile soils of Imperial County.
No, yeah, well, but also I think now, because with how the economic situation is, if we have two-parent households, both parents are working, kids are left alone by themselves.
So we have unsupervised teenagers.
Yeah, and then there's not enough.
Although it hardly takes a long time to.
Exactly. But there's also not enough, I mean, extracurricular activities. We hardly have things out here for our teens, for them to do.
So if we could keep them busy enough, they wouldn't be out having clandestine sexual relations?
Well, they don't have time to think about either boys or girls. They're busy with focusing on what they need to do. Their other goals, you know. Yeah, you know, have friends here and there, but have them more focused on either school, sports, any other programs that they
would be interesting to research to see if our rates of sexual activity are actually higher than other places.
Because I
guess for teens. Because uh-huh. I guess that would tell us whether or not this was a family planning problem or a quality, or, you know, we don't have anything to do here, so the kids are so bored that they have more sex
mm-hmm.
because there's just not anything else to do.
But
or uh-huh. Are we ineffective in terms of managing what other places manage better?
Yeah, that could be a good research. But also, yeah, I forgot to say, is that sometimes parents don't talk to their children about sex. Where in our culture, especially in the Hispanic culture, if we don't talk about it, it's not going to happen. Even though our kids are being taught by other people, like other peers, other teens, about sex. So, and sometimes they talk about sex when it's too late, when they've already been sexually active. So I think the younger you start in letting them know that sex is out there, it's going to...
Training your kid to manage their sexuality as it emerges.
Exactly, yeah.
Becomes a goal.
Exactly.
Because, and so the consequence of not doing that is you risk an accidental pregnancy, I guess would be a good way of saying it. Because,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that, it's also hard, it's also very difficult because you can't talk about sex, about birth control in schools. So.
Why not?
I don't know.
337-8874. We're here with you, Orlando Bernal, who's a supervisor of public health department, and she's got this program for expecting and parenting teens. And we can't talk about birth control in high school.
Well, you can't talk about sex. That's for sure.
We can talk about safe driving.
Yeah.
We can talk about safe partying. We can talk about safe studying. But we can't talk about safe kissing.
Sex.
I'm confused. Did somebody make this decision at the corporate level, or I mean, is it California law or something?
I think it's in their
the Ed Code.
Ed Code, yeah. I think.
Thou shalt not.
Yeah. The only programs that can go into schools are the abstinence only. But right now, with the funding, there's no.
Oh, nice! That's beautiful. It's another kind of.
Yeah.
Unintended consequence of reduced government services.
Exactly. So it's you know.
Do parents realize that their kids aren't getting any science-based education on what's biologically happening with their bodies?
I don't think so.
I think that probably should be up on some billboard somewhere.
Yeah.
Parents, your kids are being left hung out to dry with their sexuality. You may want to have somebody, I mean, you know, if you're not comfortable, have you know, uncle, aunt, somebody,
exactly.
Talk about it. Because the best surprise is no surprise.
Exactly, yeah. So
no wonder we have one of the highest rates of their height. You know, because I think I would challenge the whole, you know, there's just not enough to do here, so kids get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Because, A, it doesn't take very long. B, kids like kids everywhere, you know. Boy kids and girl kids are interacting everywhere.
Yeah.
In sexual ways, I would suspect.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say it's more of a birth control problem.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to say.
And education, I think.
But if it doesn't bother anybody, I guess it's not a problem. I think maybe that's the flip side of this.
Yeah.
So when we get these pregnant teens, what kind of negative consequences do they face as a result of getting pregnant while they're, you know, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old?
Well, sometimes they don't have insurance. Not all students qualify for Medi-Cal.
Even if they're pregnant.
Yeah, sometimes because when they're
minors. Their parents may make enough money.
Because when they're minors, they're under the parents' household or parents' income, and so the child does not qualify for any type of service. So, and then once the baby is born, it's very difficult because the teen might be under the parent's insurance, but then the baby, what happens to the baby? Because the baby is not the parent's child. It is a teen's child. So now with not having healthy families anymore, well, we do have, but not new enrollees.
You can be on a waiting list.
Exactly, in the waiting list.
No kids like 8 years old. Well, you're almost off the waiting list.
So it's very difficult right now with health insurance for our teens. Also, a barrier is transportation. Like when
they were doing the whole budget thing a couple months ago in the state of California, was that one of the things that people were being informed as taxpayers that the decision not to have any additional sources of revenue in the state of California would result in uninsured infants?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I'm not sure, but I know we lost our funding from the state for this program.
But you're still plugging on.
Yes, we are. We figured another route to go through. And we still have our program, but we were very close of closing this program.
Well, and then there wouldn't have even been anybody to manage the problem, let alone, you know, notice the problem.
Exactly. So.
So you've got kids, you've got all the health insurance, and just going in and applying for Medi-Cal isn't the easiest thing in the world to do, especially for a teenager who hasn't had a lot of practice in that.
Yeah, exactly. And they have to be. To get Medi-Cal, they have to be 18 on their own, have to be 18, or the parent apply and then just put the child under their unit, their Medi-Cal.
So parents, if they ostracize their kids, then you have that issue to work through too, I suppose, huh?
Yes.
Do you end up with kids having to go independent to what do you call it?
Emancipate.
Thank you.
Emancipate.
I knew it was there.
You know, not that many. We had a couple of cases, but mostly, I think we've had in the past like two cases, and currently we have like one emancipated minor. But that's about it. We hardly have those students that they emancipate.
Now, are these women and young fathers, are they referred to your program? Typically not in the first trimester, I would suspect.
Actually, how it's been working, I work closely with the hospitals. So whenever we get a teen parent who gives birth right there and then, we get the referral.
I mean when they're pregnant.
Oh, when they're pregnant, schools. Schools do the initial because they're the ones that find the students because they become, you know, the family resource centers. They come up, they see the child, and so with a little belly, or they disclose that they're pregnant, and we get the referral. We work really closely with them, with the Women's Clinic, the hospitals, all the schools, and other programs like behavioral health, like IVROP, March of Dimes. So whenever they encounter students and we just verify they're not in the program, we enroll them in the program.
Nice. And it's voluntary. The kids.
Yes, our program AFLP is voluntary. It's free, and you don't have to be on any type of aid or Medi-Cal to qualify. The only requirement is that you have to be a teen. No, for females. Not older, 19 or younger, and boys 20 years or younger, and have a baby or be pregnant.
Mm. So when, I guess early referral is better because
yes.
You can begin to give good prenatal care and get everything squared away and make sure that they stay in school, et cetera, et cetera. How do you, don't most pregnant teen women attempt to, have to go through this denial period, I guess, where they're like struggling with like, oh, I'm not going to tell anybody, I'm just going to wear looser shirts, and I mean, I'm betting you get most of your pregnant ones in the second trimester or third trimester of pregnancy.
Yes.
So now we're already, you know, two-thirds of the way through the pregnancy, and we haven't done any probably good prenatal care.
Actually, you'll be surprised. We've encountered a couple of, like, that situation that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
However, parents play a big role. not just parents, but counselors and teachers, because they are the ones that get the initial contact, make the initial contact with the student, and so they're the ones that push these students to have early prenatal care. We've had a couple that have never had prenatal care, and they're in the third trimester. So here we are trying to get these kids, you know, seeing a doctor, talking to their parents, making sure the parents, you know, making sure the child has told their parents. But they've been, I've noticed that these students, even though they weren't responsible in taking care of themselves to have a child, they are, after the fact, they are responsible in getting prenatal care. And then they have us to, you know, to follow up with them to make sure that they are attending. I mean, we have access to calling even their provider to see if they've gone to their appointments or meet them at their appointments and stuff like that. So we're very involved with our students in that sense.
Something occurred to me, and it's a tough question, and I, you know, if you want to punt, just punt. But what if you get a kid who comes in pregnant early in their pregnancy and wants help in arranging an abortion?
It's like anything else, because I've worked in crisis center before, and we're taught that, you know, even you can't bring your personal beliefs into work. Even if you're against it or for it, you just give the student the resources where to do this. Of course, trying to talk to them, find out the reasons why the child wants to do that, what happened to her that was so bad for her not to keep this child, you know, and, you know, talk to them, have open communication, and see if parents are involved, parents are aware, because maybe she's scared that her parents are gonna disown her,
right,
or beat her to death, and parents know, they'll be okay, but she feels that this is the end of the world. So that's why you have to actually pinpoint the reason why the child.
So they may be catastrophizing.
Exactly.
And if they are, then mm-hmm. you kind of work through those issues too.
Yes.
But they may be making a decision that a woman at this point in time can make regarding their bodies.
Exactly, and we just give resources where they can do that, and we've had situations like that before.
Hmm.
Penny.
Well, yeah, it's one of a range of possibilities.
Yeah, it's a common reaction for teen pregnancy. Unexpected.
Okay, so we're here with Yolanda Bernal. She's from the Public Health Department and Program Supervisor. Oh, you carry a caseload. How many cases do you have?
I have two ASLP social workers, and they carry a caseload of 50, and I have a caseload of 20.
So we have 120 acknowledged pregnant and or parenting teen partners right now.
Yes.
In your program.
Yes, and how it works, once a student graduates, we make sure they're steady, like they're already enrolled at IVC, make sure if they don't want to go to school, they're doing something, like working or doing, you know, something productive, and then we exit them, and then we'll, because we have a wait list of about 23 students who are waiting to be on in the program.
And these are the kids that we know are in this. So we've got this summer's batch of pregnancies to worry about. When kids come back to school in September, do you end up getting a bunch of referrals?
Yes, we do. We're already gearing up for September, because September is when they start, those referral forms start being faxed in like crazy.
Do you do them by school site? Would that, I mean, regionally, is that how you end up providing? Because you've got so many cases.
Yes, we have. I have staff in the North End and South End, and I have them all. I get the caseloads the younger crowd. So I'm the one that stays with them the most, because I get them like 14 to 16. So it's a while before they graduate. So
is 14 the youngest you've had so far in your 3 years experience?
It's been 12.
12.
12. But sometimes they move, so we don't have them, you know, they commute, they go elsewhere, so to other counties or to Mexico, so we can't case manage them.
Okay, so but for those of us as daughters who want to make sure that we're doing what we need to do to keep them making the right choices for themselves, we need to know, A, that schools do not discuss things like when women ovulate or what happens when certain types of sexual interaction occur in terms of bodies and pregnancies. And that women the age of 12, young women, are capable of becoming pregnant.
Yes.
So those are important words to take into the break. We'll be right back. This is Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness in the period of time.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. A 5 to 6 minute highlight podcast of the same show is available on KXORadio.com.
Good morning. You're listening to Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness here in the Imperial. Yeah, it's my AM voice. I'm sorry.
That's cool.
It's because Maria Wyatt is our co-host, and she's under the weather today, and she's not here, and she always does the intros. So she's got this beautiful, exact intro thing, and I'm like, what do I say?
No, you're doing good.
We've been doing this for years, so we step in for each other all the time. So this is your voice for wellness here in the Imperial County and Mexicali Valley and Yuma, if you've got really good antenna. 337-8874 is the phone number, and we're here today with Yolanda Bernal, who is a program supervisor for the Public Health Department, County Imperial, and she runs this program called the Adolescent Family Life Program. Now, your acronym doesn't... Can you pronounce your acronym?
No.
Okay.
It's like AFLP.
AFLP. But nonetheless, it's a great program. So this is a program for pregnant and parenting teens. How many guys do you get involved?
We have a few. I actually have a male social worker who we try for him to have all the males. He has we've had 10 boys. I've had two, and my other social workers had 5. So we have them, and sometimes they're the father of the babies of our other teens in the program.
Yes.
So that sometimes works because you can manage both.
Yeah, ideally.
Yeah, that's what we want, but it doesn't work like that all the time because sometimes some of these teens are no longer involved with the father of the baby.
So you've got 104, counting the waiting list, you've got 145 kids.
Yes.
Kids, teenagers, on your caseload. You must get a real cross-section of the Imperial Valley. What kind of, demographically, what kind of kids do you get? They're not all poor kids. They're not all rich kids. They're a little bit of everybody, huh?
Yes. I mean, there's no set thing to say it's because they're poor that they're pregnant. No, we get all ranges from high to low.
It's equal opportunity.
Equal opportunity, exactly. Exactly. And from all the county.
Sex does not discriminate.
From Calexico all the way to Calipat, Nyland, Westmoreland, even Winter Haven. So we get the whole Imperial, Hopeville.
So there's no one region where they have a real problem, and it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. In some towns we have more than others. But you have to see that there's sometimes when there's more services in an area, of course you're going to have more students from there. So, and then there's some students that there have fallen between the cracks that, because whenever I see a pregnant teen walking.
Who do you belong to?
Yeah. You know, I'm all saying, are you in the program?
That makes sense. So with all these kids, when you get them, you mentioned that they get this continuous case management, I guess.
Uh-huh.
What kind of assessment do you do?
We do several. Once they come into the program, we do an intake, and we actually ask them everything about even who lives in their home. We everything, drug and alcohol, any convictions. It's like a very comprehensive baseline assessment.
How accurate do you think some of the information, you don't have to say yes to these questions.
No, kids, that's what people always think, but our students are fairly, how do you say?
Open.
Opened with us because, we talk to them, we're very straight out with them. I mean, they're already kind of mini adults, because they're already parents, even though they're still teens, but you kind of like to have to make them realize that they have to be more responsible with, you know, with their that there's consequences to what they do. And they become, like, very open with us because they see us as their support and we're there when they need us. But also, other than the comprehensive baseline assessment that we do, we also do individualized service plan, meaning like setting their goals, and we do that every 3 months for them to see like if they plan to graduate, if they plan to go to higher education, what are they doing to keep themselves healthy, what are they doing, are they keeping the babies up to date, are they pregnant or not pregnant, are they doing family planning, are they taking care of themselves, and are they working full-time,
so you have to get pregnant and be in that process to get family planning care.
Well,
finally.
Yeah, but
in the Midwest we call that closing the barn door after the horses are out.
Yeah, well, we find out because sometimes a child might be sitting with you and you've been case managing, and if you don't ask the question, they're not going to answer.
No, that's right.
And so we ask them, are you pregnant? Oh, no, no, no. Or are you pregnant? You know what? Yes, I am. You know, it's like unbelievable. But you see, it's like what my mother, if you don't ask, you're not going to get an
answer.
They're
not going to know. It's not something people volunteer.
Exactly. So that's why we always keep it in our service plan, so we can find out, if they're having birth control, taking care of themselves, and if not, we talk to mom, because sometimes we have moms who don't want birth control for their kids, even though they know they're going to be sexually active. They still don't want birth control for their
kids.
Because they believe in that they're not going to have sex. And so I always try to tell parents that, you know what, doesn't matter if they do or they don't, you need to cover yourself and cover your daughters, because you never know what can happen and you don't want another child. At least not at this time. Because the student is barely a sophomore, for example. And you still have 2 more years to graduate, so we have to focus on the graduation instead of...
They're only going to give you so many seats at the graduation ceremony, and if you've got too many kids, they won't fit. You'll have to leave somebody home.
Yeah, so it's, you know...
Scary.
So it's difficult to deal with these teens, but we I think my staff and I handle them pretty well.
Okay, 337-8874 is the phone number. Yolanda Bernalis, she works for public health, and she has this program, Adolescent Family Life Program for pregnant and parenting teens. Now, are you able sometimes to actually help in ways that, like, for example, let's say somebody wasn't very successful academically, and they come into your program and because they're pregnant. Are you able to go back and get them on track and help them get credits and undo some academic damage, for example?
Yes. We work closely with counselors at schools, with principals. Sometimes we help them. For example, the students do not want to, the school does not want to accept students in school. We intervene. We go see why not, what's the best option for them, what to do. We help them with that as well.
And not because they're pregnant, because of other problems, or
yeah, maybe. Usually it's never the pregnancy. It could be the pregnancy for truancy because they feel sick and they don't go, so they have a lot of absences.
So it creates secondary problems.
Exactly, and so we help them with that, making sure, you know, before they get starved or anything
right,
like
right,
that.
Right.
So we make sure
a medical excuse.
Yeah, yeah, and try to say, you know what, a little stomach ache is nothing. You need to go to school and be tough. Go to school, because when the baby comes, it's going to be tougher. So, and it's better for you, because then the baby's going to start getting sick, and you're going to have to go to the doctor. So, and usually that's why a lot of students are at the continuations, or not community, but the continuation schools, because they go to school early, you know, earlier, half day, and then they have the afternoons off, and that's when they can take their babies to the doctor or have their prenatal care. So that works perfectly for them and for us, so they'll be finishing their credits.
Is continuation, like, I don't know, because you've got, I assume, some of your people that you get in these classes or some pregnant young women are, I don't know, UC material, you know, University of California material. And they're part of that kind of upper echelon academically that are going to be going to one of those schools. Would community schools still offer them the chance to do that, or would that be, would you be giving something like that away?
I think they would.
Just the quality of the credits, I guess, because you wouldn't have any advanced placement classes, et cetera, et cetera.
You know what? They have the students, because like for some continuation schools, you can still graduate. Some of them you can't. Like community schools, you can't graduate from the school.
Right, that's correct.
So, but from the other continuation, some continuations you can. And right now they have really good, leadership that they are helping their students.
That's a compliment, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Are you giving props to the community school leaders?
You know what, I am.
You
Because they work really well with their students. People don't know how difficult it is to work with these students, not just the pregnant teens, just the whole
range of people who might
who attend, and they do an awesome job. They keep them in school, they keep them focused, and they become successful by graduating. So sometimes people say, I want to graduate from the continuation, but you know what? They do an awesome job with their students, and I believe currently they work much better with their students in the sense of what works best for them, because they have the choice. Once they meet some certain requirements, they can get transferred to a high school, to a regular high school.
Mm-hmm.
So it all depends on the student and what would be best for them. And I am the principal, at least in one of the community schools, I know meets with them on a frequent basis to see where they're at and if they need to move elsewhere. They need to, not because they're misbehaving, but because of what's best for them for their education.
Keeping lives on track.
Exactly.
Yes. Excellent. So keeping kids in school is the first priority.
Yes.
I mean, that's when you guys get these kids, that's how do you deal with competing problems? I don't know. Let's say somebody has a young woman pregnant has a substance abuse problem.
We refer and work closely with other agencies so we can work together to make sure that they're receiving, like we're doing our part, they're doing their part, and the school's doing their part. So we work closely with other agencies. We have to keep these children afloat.
Well, because you run into, I guess, logistical problems, if nothing else, because the program for pregnant women, for example, who are on substance abuse, meets in the mornings, which
yes.
is the same time school meets.
Uh-huh.
Community schools, I think all of them now have alcohol and drug programs for adolescents. However, continuation schools, not all of them do.
Mm-hmm.
So you must have to do a lot of juggling.
Yes, we do. And a lot of, bringing resources to the table for each student because when my staff can, I have to do the, come up with ideas because I become very creative. You have a lot of contacts throughout the county because you work in different, you've worked in other areas, so you always have keep your doors open. And it works. It works. It's difficult, but because we've had students, we work closely with a lot of agencies, for example, behavioral health. They've helped us extremely with students, alcohol and drug. Actually, Maria has helped us with some students with the new program that she has, like the TAPE.
Transitional Age Youth Program, the Mental Health Service Act program.
Yes, we work with her. We referred students, and it's awesome. Center for Family Solutions for anger management. Little things like that people just don't see.
Yeah, pregnant and anger problems, not a good place to be, is it?
Yeah, but it happens.
Sure, it happens.
And so we have to, be ready and open because a lot of things happen that
you just kind of have to help solve as much as possible.
And that's what I like about my job, that you go every day not knowing what's going to happen that day because a lot of things happen, and so it's not the same every day.
Yeah, you've got phone calls stacking up right now as we speak, right?
Yes, yeah, but I enjoy it. I like it.
337-8874 is the phone number here if you'd like to join us and come in and join the conversation. Any questions for Yolanda? We're here with Yolanda Bernal, who's a program supervisor at the Public Health Department. Do you run groups with the kids? Do you bring these kids in together and work with them as one? Or
we started, however, we were unsuccessful. But how we're approaching it this time, we're going to do, we're going to hopefully have some San Diego State interns who are going to help us with our caseloads, and we are going to be providing one-on-ones because they have to do therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so excited.
Is this from the social work program?
Social work, correct.
So these are master students.
Master students, uh-huh. So we're going to start that. The first, hopefully they approve my supervisor. If you're hearing this, I hope you approve it. Once she approves it, it's a go. And then also we're starting to do presentations for our students, getting them together to talk about
different topics.
Because
they have a lot of similar needs, right?
Yes.
And you might as well get them all at once.
Exactly. So we work closely with, for example, Clinicas de Salud del Pueblo with the CCG grant. You know how they do presentations on STDs,
yes,
HIV, public health.
The things we can't talk about in school.
Exactly. Public health, they do our dental, our immunizations, our lead, all those things, nutrition, all those things that when they're pregnant or parenting because they have little ones, they need to know. We try to bring March of Dimes. When they have premature babies, which is it's a common...
A risk of young mothers.
Yes. So things like that. We try to bring a lot of people to the table.
Do you have specialized parenting for these guys? I mean, because it's like first-time parenting for young parents is kind of a little niche. Or do they just go to the regular parenting classes?
The regular parenting classes.
How many, percentage-wise, about how many of you do you get to attend and complete those programs?
I've never followed up on that, and that's a really good idea that you hear.
Well, because it seems like with their busy lives, that would be part of the thing. But part of it, you know, part of it may be mentality. Because if I didn't worry about being responsible for mm-hmm. the condition that I'm in before my condition occurred,
yes,
why would I worry about being responsible for this upcoming condition, which would be parenting,
mm-hmm.
before it occurs?
Yeah.
You know, so you get this mindset thing.
Yeah, and you know what? You're making me think. I might talk to Yvette from the CAP Council to see if we can do something set for our teens, something special for our teens, for parenting.
Hip hop parenting for night.
You know, something fun, but
at the same time,
learning
that specifically targets their developmental needs as really young beginning parents.
Yeah, yeah, it's a really good idea.
Yeah.
I'm open for any ideas that
we can
help.
You can have it for free. I won't charge you for it. What else do you guys do? Health, nutrition stuff, obviously.
Yes, we provide them information about making sure that they eat nutritious.
And now for teens, that you see, you get your teenagers again. That must be an uphill battle.
Yeah, because they don't see that, and they're still... Especially
it doesn't taste good. Come on.
Yeah, the veggies, especially the veggies. But I make sure they're physically active, make sure that they drink water, especially with the heat, especially when they're pregnant.
Not soda. How do you do that?
Well, you just... And you'll be surprised. There's a
Without
lot of,
following them around and slapping their little hands.
There's a lot of teens that don't drink that. Because parents don't buy it.
There you go.
Parents don't buy it. Like, I don't buy that at home. If they drink, they drink it elsewhere, but not at home, you know? But I noticed that a lot of teens drink water.
Good.
Water's excellent, but sometimes it's weird because, like you say, they're teens, and they're supposed to, usually they don't do the healthy bit.
So if healthy gets cool... If somehow we end up marketing, you know, be smarter than your parents, drink water when you're 18 so you don't have to, you know, worry about losing weight when you're 40.
Yeah.
Maybe that, you know, that becomes part of pop culture and it doesn't become something we have to kind of twist kids' arms to get them to do.
Exactly. Like the nutrition program has, the state was coming up with, I don't know if they still have it, but... They were updating their teen cookbooks, and they have an old cookbook, the one that we have, that teaches teens how to cook very, like, small meals. And, you know, it has a really nice presentation. It's fun. And
which means it's cool enough that it probably isn't budgeted for, right?
Probably.
We'll do an inverse scale. However cool the program was, then it's that much more likely not to be budgeted for.
Exactly. So, but yeah.
If nothing else, we figured that out this morning, huh? What's the hardest habit for teens? And what do you find is the real challenge of doing this job? And day in, day out, what really pops up as being, man?
Getting a hold of these students, especially during the summer, because we have the most work during the summer, even though it's kind of supposed to be slow, but it's when we do the most work, I feel. I'm just extremely tired all the time. But it's getting a hold of them.
The whole 110 thing doesn't help, does it?
Exactly. It's so hot out there that you really don't want to go out and look for these kids because it's so hot, especially like when you're pregnant, like when our staff is pregnant and, you know, or sick. You know, it's really, that makes it difficult. But also, when we have events, it's really hard for them to get transported because we don't transport.
Mm.
And so it's hard to get the students to the events.
Getting them out of their houses in 100 and X degrees
yeah.
on a bus pass. You guys do bus passes?
No, not even. We don't even have money for that, but we just talk to parents. Can you please bring your child to this place at this time? You know, but sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes they don't see it as a priority, so they don't go. But some kids will. Like we had the other day on July, we were kind of like testing it. We wanted to do on immunizations for their kids, and we had a couple with their baby and their mom.
Mm.
So that's better than nothing, right? But, you know, and which worked because we had that, it was on immunizations, and this family didn't believe in immunizations. So now they think that it's time to immunize their child. So it worked because it helped them. And it was kind of like a one-on-one, you know, because they were like adamant
about it. Get special attention. You're the only people here today.
Yeah. But it worked because they wanted to find out where they can go do the immunizations for their child.
Well, and they may be less worried in the future about getting immunizations, and that may help protect the child from whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Public health menace raises its head.
Exactly.
So getting kids to participate in this stuff, which isn't a problem that's just for children. I mean, with all of pregnant and parenting people, getting them to take proactive, active roles in managing their health appointments and everything else, you know, is a challenge. But
yeah.
you got kids now. They don't have licenses. They don't have cars. They're dependent upon their parents for transportation, et cetera, et cetera.
And it's really hot out there, so.
And it's really hot out there. So let's summarize. This is your program's called
Adolescent Family Life, or ASLP.
And it's who's eligible for it?
Any teen, females 19 or younger, who are pregnant or parenting, and boys. Father, you know, who are fathers 20 years or younger, and who either girlfriend is pregnant or parent, or they already have a baby, and there's no income requirement. It's free, and you don't have to have an insurance or Medi-Cal or anything. Or you can have a health insurance, like a private health insurance. And we still can take them.
Nice. And what are the primary benefits of the program for people who may enroll?
Well, the primary benefits are that we make sure that they live a healthy, productive life in the sense of making sure they're pregnant, they have a healthy pregnancy, positive one, that they have all the contacts that they need to have, make sure that they're in school, they're enrolled in school, and doing well in school because we maintain their academic success, you know, we make sure that they're doing well in school. Also that they'll be providing information from other programs that might be helpful for them. We also, I forgot to tell you, that we also refer a lot to programs, like if they have a relationship going,
mm-hmm.
To programs where they can have a healthy relationship to keep that stronger. So that's another program that we refer to.
Do you work with faith-based organizations also and help coordinate that?
If we need to, yes, we would. But we haven't had the opportunity at this time. But if it would be, if the client would request something like that, of course, we would find the connections to where to send the students.
So first and foremost.
And repeat pregnancies. Avoid repeat pregnancies.
Nice.
That's one of our key components.
If you want two kids, you're going to have twins.
Yeah, exactly. One pregnancy.
On my watch.
Oh, yeah.
He's calling you up in the middle of the night. So when pregnant or parenting kids come in, teenagers, 14 through, there's no bottom age on this, is there? Could be any bottom age. There's no too young for this program.
No.
Okay, that's probably important too. So, and we don't want everybody to run out and get pregnant so they can be in the program.
Exactly, no. We want people to take care of themselves and make smart decisions about, like you mentioned, about their sexuality. It's just that the program is there when it's needed, not that you need to, you know what I mean? That to be, no, just don't go out and get pregnant to be in the program.
Well, in 123 active cases and another 20-some-odd on the waiting list, we have 150 pregnant and parenting teens in the Imperial Valley right now.
Who we know of.
And that sends out a heads up to all of the people who either work with teens or have teens of their own or have younger than teens, because they'll be teens someday. Just to be aware that, you know, you don't get comprehensive sexual education about how to manage your own sexuality in schools.
Exactly.
That's not part of school curriculum. So if it doesn't come from home, it comes from teen culture. And is that where you want your kids learning about their sexuality? I don't know. Not mine.
Not mine either.
All right. Well, Yolanda, thanks for coming aboard today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And,
thank you.
How was this? Was this...
Excellent.
Okay, it was good for me too. I loved it. Enjoy your day. And
you too.
Don't get too hot out there. And you guys out there, thanks for listening, and don't get too hot out there. We'll be back again next week with another Let's Talk About It show. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.